Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks very much for joining us, everybody. We're live here at the Close Up Radio Studios and Close Up Television Studios, and it's a pleasure to have you here. We thank you for making us part of your day as we take you on this episode to Seattle, Washington, and we visit with Neil Henderson. He is the founder of Front Row Performance Coaching, offering two specialties, coach supervision and team coaching, and he holds two International Coaching Federation credentials as a professional certified coach and an advanced certification in team coaching. Additionally, Neil is accredited by the International Center for Coaching Supervision, and as a coach supervisor, he also holds the Professional Management Institute's Project Management Professional title as well. A systemic team coach, Neil partners with organizations and organizational leaders acting as a catalyst for team development, accelerated performance, and or transformational change. Neil works with organizational leaders and their teams to customize a coaching program which will lead to increased team alignment and performance while developing their leaders' capacity to lead their teams. Coach supervision is a reflective practice, according to Neil, where a focus is on three functional areas. First, their resilience and well-being. Second, helping folks with ethical issues to ensure best practices. And third, to help folks develop and handle challenges. And in coach supervision, he works with their own journey. Also, his coaching, supervision, and team coaching practices are symbiotic in a lot of ways. He says to be an effective coach, supervisor, got to be effective in the coaching world. Therefore, he's always sharpening his skill sets as well as a coach and as a supervisor. As I mentioned, he joins us live from Seattle, Washington, for this 30-minute uninterrupted live conversation. Is here on Close Up. Pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much. That was a very nice introduction. Thank you.
Freudian slip interruption, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
not sure exactly what's happening, but you're kind of cutting out a little bit.
Are you on a cell? Are you on a cell phone?
I am on a cell phone.
Maybe move around in the room a little bit, because you sound good on this end. No interruptions on this end. You sound clear. Everything on this end sounds good. So
great.
Good there. This is, the audience knows, this is part one of an exclusive two-part series. So on this particular episode, we're going to be talking about coach supervision. Tell us how you do what you do and the extraordinary work that you do, Neil, in that regard.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me kind of talk a little bit about what coach supervision is, because that's I think, fundamental to how I do my work. So coach supervision, which is different from coaching, focuses – it's a reflective practice that you work with the – my client or coach to help them really help them on their developmental journey, help them with their emotional well-being as well as ethical issues. So really what I do and help them do is help them thrive is the short answer. But I bring a systems approach to how we're looking at it. So I help them create an understanding of the environment they're working in, create a larger understanding of themselves, self-awareness, and we then help them figure out how they can best impact their client system. Kind of like helping an athlete that looks at film, same type process as helping them create that self-awareness so they can improve their performance.
That's terrific. That is great. You know, also, coach supervision specifically, which is the theme of this particular episode for part one, how do you define coach supervision? It's a lot more than just supervising, right?
Exactly. And coach supervision started really emerging in the 1980s out of the psychiatric profession. And what was happening there was a senior psychiatrist would be overseeing a more junior psychiatrist as they would go through in their challenging cases. So what coach supervision really is it's a reflective practice that helps as a partnership between a more senior coach and a more junior coach as a general rule, although it doesn't have to be, where there is a dialogue between the two of them where they will discuss, you know, the client will bring a case or an issue, a challenge to be discussed. And the coach supervisor will help that client get some insights on how they might have worked better with the coach's client, how they could create more self-awareness of how they're reacting, that sort of stuff. How do they take care of themselves? So it is very much a reflective practice. And the coach supervisor will focus, he'll bounce between really three functions. The first one being the restorative function, which is around well-being. As a coach, many times you're out on a windy corner. There's a lot of emotional demands as a coach. You're fully present. Depending on who you're coaching, they could be going through some serious issues. So bringing that to supervision for that support, emotional direction, made self-care, that sort of thing. The second function that happens within, as you were kind of saying in the introduction, is the normative, or what I call the QC portion of this. This is where we help the coach work through ethical issues, help them navigate some sticky situations, help them maintain the best standards of our community. And then finally, which is the one that most people think about, is the formative or the developmental function. And that's where the coach supervisor will help that person, give them feedback, help them discuss the challenging cases, help them create new insights. And how do I get better at my craft? So that's really a way to look at coach supervision and what we really want to do there.
What would you say, Neil, when you really sort of break it out? And there might be elements that are similar that maybe play off each other, but what is the difference between coaching and coach supervision?
And that's a question many people ask, because, and one of my pet peeves is people will say, well, coach supervision is just coaching the coach. And, there's nothing farther from the truth. Both serve different purposes, both very valid purposes. Coaching is much more aimed at, that individual, the client that we're working at. So very client-focused. The client drives their agenda. They decide what they want to work on. They decide what their outcomes are. And as a coach, my job is to create that self-awareness, provide some accountability, and help them get to where they want to go. So and my description is it's internally focused. It's focused at that coach or that coaching client. Now, the coach supervision client, generally speaking, they're a coach, but they don't necessarily have to be. And what we're doing there, we're coming pretty much as equals. And we are looking at, you know, if you there's some my vision is of like the medical community that comes together and they say this is the case and they dissect it, or you know, athletes that come back after a match and they review their performance. That's sort of what this is. This is where two colleagues get together, discuss these things, whether it's a challenging case, how they might be able to do better. But the focus is not necessarily on the client, by the person I'm talking to. The focus is really how does that client better serve their coaching client? How do they become a better coach and have better impact? So kind of a quick summary, coaching supports the skill development and the client outcomes, where coach supervision is a reflective practice, and it is really focused on helping that coach do a better job with their clients.
That's very important, right, to make those distinctions, but yet again, elements sort of weave through one another. From your perspective, being, you know, in the thick of it and on the front lines, Neil, what are some of the benefits of a coach supervision?
Wow, there's a bunch of those, and I've benefited from them. That's coach supervision has been very important in my development as I move through up. But I think the foundational benefit is I keep saying it's a reflective practice, but it's taking that time just to kind of stop and think and look at how you've performed. So when we talk about what are the benefits, the tangible benefits, first of all, it's professional development. I might learn some things. I will look at these challenges and I'll be able to pick from the warehouse of experience a supervisor brings to better handle these type of things, gain insights into their coaching style, identify areas they want to improve on, which kind of connects to continuing improvement. They're able to, if they do a regular supervision process, they will continually get better. And one of the things that this continual improvement brings out is they're always increasing their self-awareness. And they're learning about themselves. Sometimes it can be a little challenging if you get some feedback that you may not necessarily want. But that's part of the supervision process, is to open up those blind spots. A couple other really strong benefits. I mentioned it, the emotional support. Being a coach can be extremely taxing. So having somebody who understands the situation you're in, understands the environment, and you have the ability to work through things. The other part to that is many times you don't see how you're not taking care of yourself. You're not taking care of your emotional well-being. You're not taking care of your physical self. So many times a supervisor can say, hey, you might want to take some time to do some physical training, or, you know, what would be a better way to take care of yourself? And then I think ethical decision-making, because we can end up in some really tricky situations And ethics, as you realize, is not a black and white thing. It's what's the situation? Where are we going? What is the right thing to do? And that can be sticky for some folks as they go through things. So getting that support as you're learning about those, how to make those ethical decisions, how to make better decisions. The ultimate benefit from coach supervision, frankly, is your clients. And they get a better coach that is better doing a better job interacting with them. So their experience is better. And that's what I think is the kind of the tip of the spear type of benefit.
That's fantastic. A lot of benefits. Probably we could spend an hour at least on the benefits, I don't doubt. From your perspective too, Neil, what are some specific services that you are providing in coach supervision that maybe you can share with our listeners?
Yeah. The services I provide really are can be divvied up into levels of customization. So I will, if I'm working one-on-one with an individual, that's the most customized program. We're working, that person will bring a challenge or an item that they want to work on for the 45 minutes or an hour we're together. So we're truly focused completely on their issues, their challenges, and where they want to go. Now, I also consider myself an all-in supervisor, an all-in coach. What I mean by that is some supervisors will tell you, we meet at our regular scheduled time, and that's it. If you got a question, save it up, and we'll talk about it when we get together. In my case, things could come up. You need some support on as we're going along. So I make myself available through text, email, that sort of stuff, in between our sessions to be able to help them work through those challenges. So that's the most customized, one-to-one supervision. Then I offer a couple different types of group supervision. And some of the benefits of group supervision is the cost. It drops. You share the cost with four or five people. But the next level of customization is we'll have a small group of coaches that all come from one kind of specialty, say team coaching, leadership coaching, internal coaching. So they all have some of the same related experiences. Now, they're four or five people, so they won't be completely focused on each one of them all the time. But one of the side benefits of that, you learn from your colleagues. So I have clients that prefer group coaching or group supervision over individual coaching supervision. So those are the most customized. The least customized is still a group coach supervision process, but it's whoever is available and wants to join in. So again, it is whoever is available, whatever level of experience that wants to participate. So the benefit of that, well, least customized, is that you get to interact with coaches from many different disciplines within coaching, and you get to see a lot of different perspectives. So those are the way I serve my coach supervision clients.
That's great. That's terrific. You do it, in a very, very, I would say, exacting way that really sort of presents itself with great success for your clients. And that's important. That's what keeps the longevity with the clients as well. What are some of the common dilemmas that are sort of brought to coaching supervision professionals, some of the things that one is dealing with, some of the frustrations and things they're trying to work through?
Yeah. There's obviously there's many of them, but I think some of the broadest ones that I work with, first of all, self-doubt, the imposter syndrome, particularly for more junior coaches or coaches that are entering into a new type of engagement. We all are self-critical to an extent, some more than others. But dealing with that self-doubt is you maybe not be getting the reaction you think you should be getting, or things aren't going the way you think they should be, can create a lot of that imposter syndrome. That's probably one of the highest ones that I deal with the coaches, at least for me. Client relationship issues are another biggie. Things like boundary issues, which also highlights, they may bring a boundary issue to me, which say they are working with an employee and that employee's supervisor wants to get involved with that engagement. Now, in coaching, we work confidentiality. When we're talking, that's their information, and that creates the trust to really get at some really vulnerable ideas. So having that boundary of trying to report to the supervisor can cause all kinds of problems with that trust, but it also could create an ethical problem of how I deal with that supervisor. So it's those what is presenting can oftentimes, when you peel back the onion, become ethical concerns. But other client relationship challenges can be just resistance. How do you get sponsorship from the folks that are paying the bills? How are you dealing with resistance from part of a team? How are you dealing with interpersonal conflicts within that team? Those conflict and communication tend to be really high in the client relationship arena. I think the final kind of big area that I deal with is the emotional well-being, the taking care of yourself, balancing the needs of the client versus the balance of the coach. It is a helping profession. And if we are spending too much time on that side of the equation, we're not taking care of ourselves. So that will erode our ability to be present. It'll erode our physical health. It'll increase stress and many different other manifestations of that stress. So I think dealing with how do I avoid burnout? How do I avoid that stress by taking care of the emotional needs? Those, I think, are the most common ones that I'm dealing with if I'm working with coaches that are working individually. With people that are working with teams, those things just kind of get we talk a lot about the relationships between that client system. How does the senior officials interacting with more junior officials? How do I navigate that? It's never a dull moment when you're talking to a coach about some of their challenges and dilemmas.
Mm. Yeah. And you never know. You know, life throws so many things at us that it's extraordinary. Tell us a little bit about your background and experience, a little bit about your journey. It's kind of like a three-part miniseries in a way, right?
Yes, it is. When I look back at my career, the first segment I refer to as my practical leadership segment. And that's when I, first part of my working career, I joined the Marine Corps. I spent 2 years at the University of Oklahoma and unsuccessful stint at my college education, but I joined the Marine Corps, and boy, did I learn leadership. I learned small unit leadership, how to lead small teams. I learned how to lead myself and the characteristics of a leader. After about 6 years or so, I decided I'd go back to school, and I missed the camaraderie, so I joined the Navy Reserve, and that's a whole story for another show sometime. I joined the Navy Reserve, and I was an instructor, and everybody I was teaching had more experience on the weapon systems than I did. So I really learned how to lead and teach from a position where I was not the expert. Then I came back on active duty because I missed it, missed having a job, et cetera. And for the next 22 years, really in the Navy, I took on ever-increasing and more complex teams, learning how to lead teams that were dispersed, covered over, you know, a state or several states. My final duty station included a lot of change management, a lot of helping build very large, complex teams. So that was my Navy Marine Corps career, and that was really my first segment, the first part of the mini-series. Second part of the mini-series is what I call just coaching application. And in 2012, I received my coaching credentials, and that's about the time I think you and I first talked, about 2012.
Yeah.
So that's when I was starting my coaching journey. I was starting to master my craft. I used coach supervision to develop. In 2017, I took a position where I was coaching at a Navy shipyard and working with very large, complex project teams and help, you know, working with senior leaders and team alignment and whatnot. So that was, and I'm still doing that. So that's a, it's always an education every day you walk in. And the third phase, and the one I'm just transitioning to, is that of community builder. I'm turning 65 in February. So really I'm strongly focusing on my coach supervision, helping my fellow coaches thrive and develop so they can do, you know, good work as coaches. But I'm also picking up volunteer positions, like a subject matter expert for the International Coaching Federation, our governing body here in the United States. Excuse me. And providing subject matter expertise to their team coaching program and community. So that's where I'm transitioning and working there. I'm also taking these skills that I've learned working with a shipyard and the Navy and working to help smaller organizations, local and state governments, organizations, what I call helping humanity, the nonprofits and the social entrepreneurs. And my favorite, organizations that build, so like folks that work with robotics or, you know, construction, maintenance, that sort of stuff. So that's the phase of my career of where I'm at right now.
That's fantastic. Just want to let folks know, just a few days after Veterans Day as well, and you're a veteran, served in the Navy, and this show is sort of an honor of Veterans Day and the service that has been given as we honor you, the business leader and veteran as well. And you'll be back on the 28th to continue and talk about team coaching, which will be terrific. We look forward to that, Neil. And want to get that website out to everybody, frontrowresults.com. That's frontrow, R-O-W, results.com. Neil, this was an extraordinary conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have, and look forward to the continuation. And I can't believe it's been since 2012 when we chatted last. That went by in a New York minute.
It did. And I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation. Thank you so much.
And we appreciate you as well, and we'll continue on the 28th with part two of the series. Thank you very much, Neil. Always a pleasure. Looking forward to chatting more. And thanks for all the work you do and for your service as well. Neil Henderson of Front Row joining us here again one more time, frontrowresults.com. This is part one of the series, part two coming up on the 28th, 1 p.m. Eastern. Jim Masters here thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments with another spectacular guest celebrated right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.